and the other day. As I want you to picture waking up, as you guys got up today, is God going to do something special today? Is he going to do something? Well, number one, he got us up, right? That's pretty special right there. But is today a unique day? See, one of the things about being God is you're in charge. One of the things about not being God, we're not in charge. We don't get to be the ones who make the schedules for everyone, who don't get to bring the special blessing. God is at work and he is moving. He's all powerful, all knowing. God is outside of time. He's the creator of time. And on a day, just like any other day, God is moving. God is preparing to do something very special. Not only in the life of David and the people of God, but is there a day coming up soon? Is it today when God is going to be moving in your life in a unique and special way to bless others through you in ways that you have no idea? See, we can't predict what God is going to do. We can't predict when he's going to do it. But he moves, and when he moves, it is powerful, powerful movement. Let's start with the reading of the word. Let's stand together. 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 12. And my eyes, I'm going to have to use my paper because my eyes are not focusing on the smaller print Bible that I have. Yes, I do not have my glasses with me. Now, David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread of your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with a keeper of supplies and ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before. Please be seated. Whew. A day like any other day. And what do we hear? We start off in the first couple of verses as Dad has told him that, you know what? I want you to go and take some things to your brothers. And first thing we hear, though, is we hear that now David was the son of an Ephrathite. Elkanah, Samuel's father, was described as an Ephrathite. What do we know about this Ephrathite? Ephrathite has two meanings. Number one, it means that he's from the tribe of Ephraim. And number two, it means that he's a member of the tribe of Judah whose territory was around Bethlehem. And so what's that saying? It's saying Elkanah and Samuel had family connections with Bethlehem. See, when God is working, God takes all the pieces and nothing is left to chance. God's not surprised. He's working. He's been preparing what David is going to be doing. And so he's been putting the pieces in place for years. And I think it's exciting that it's not just, oh, here's a story about this guy, David. No, God's been preparing and preparing and putting the right people in the right places and preparing everything just so. It says Jesse had his three oldest sons that they had gone off to the war. And you can just picture, remember, we know the oldest pretty a little bit better, don't we? We know that he's big. We know that he's quite impressive physically. We also know he was passed over by Samuel as choosing Eliab as the next king after Saul. We knew that Samuel had gone to see Jesse and his sons and had looked and gone through all the sons that were there. And none were the one that God was saying, this is the one. Even though Samuel had seen them and thought, Eliab, this is the guy, look at him. He looks like a king. And everything in this story deals with the vision, man's vision versus God's vision. How man sees and how God sees. And here, as we get another look at these oldest sons, they've gone off to war and but what's David doing? He's what? He's either dealing with the sheep or he's keeping Saul from going crazy by playing his harp and singing. And so he's going back and forth and back and forth. One of the things we heard last week was not everything in a narrative story from the Word of God is put in chronological order. And so here we see that this is how later, which is actually earlier in the story, how King Saul knew David's name before this, because we're out of chronological order. But what we're seeing here is this is where David is first being seen by people outside of his family in Samuel as someone who's special. So we got, it says in verse 14, David was the youngest, the three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. So what's David doing? He's being the messenger boy. He's bringing food. He's finding out, hey, are you guys okay? Dad wants to know. What do you guys need? Here's the king to be, still in a place of humility. The water boy. Perfect. I love that. The water boy. Here's the guys on the field, man. We just had the draft. Anybody watch the draft? Oh, my goodness. How exciting was that? We got some big boys. When you are putting together a team, you want an army. You want some guys who can get it done. And boy, here we see that for 40 days, the army that's impressive, the one that looks like their front line, is beyond compare, are the Philistines. Big guys. And here's the biggest. And he comes out, and we remember from last week, he comes out and he taunts the people of God. He comes out and he calls them names and he mocks their God. But something is different on this occasion. Something is different this time than any other time. And it's who hears what's going on. You see, when God is moving and he's moving amongst his people, when you are hearing from the word of God and seeing things as God sees, you don't see the giant who comes out and taunts and be like the others who run out of fear. Something inside of you, when God is mocked, says, no, 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 no. We need to stand for in truth and in love. But we stand for what's right. We come up against the giants. So he's gone, and he's gone to take the cheese and assure his dad that everything's okay. And it says in verse 20, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set it out. I love how it gives us this picture of David. And as he's getting ready, he's obeying his father. He's doing as Jesse had directed him. He reached the camp of the army. As the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up and facing lines once again, right in the valley. And on each side of the valley, you've got the lines being drawn. Yeah. You can feel what's happening. You can feel. David left. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up the lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, and he ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. One of the things I love about this is David has been given a task. He's doing his task, but he's also a young man, a boy, somewhere in that transition time. And he sees the battle lines being drawn, and what does he do with what he's been brought to do?
Yeah, you guys take these.
He's being drawn. He wants to see for himself what's going on. Guys, does this remind you of any? So with the guy who keeps the bags, the guy who takes it, he leaves his stuff. Remember when we first see the call of Saul? Saul's hiding behind the bags. When we first see David, David's putting his stuff to somebody else to watch, and he's going out to see what's going on. You got a very different mindset here. You've got somebody who's hungry to see what God's going to do, who has this vision of from God, this understanding that I don't see things as the world does. I don't see things as though God doesn't exist. So often in our lives, we you know, Sunday morning, we come, we worship, we pray. It's great. Now we go back to real life. Oh, Monday through Friday, real life. And by Friday, we're just like, real life. Let me tell you about real life. So this weekend, Julie's been away. Every 2 to 3 years, she goes down to see her best girlfriends from college. And they all get together and have a wonderful time. And one of the things that my wife did not mention to me, or she probably did, I probably just didn't hear it. You know how, guys, have you ever been there? Okay. It very possibly could be one of those. I could be the culprit right here. But on Friday night, you know, Friday morning early, I take her. Friday night, we've got girls, Alexia's friends, coming to spend the night at our house. And they had a great time. They were great. They were a lot of fun. But it was work, right? Real life. Yeah. When Julie gets home tonight, honey. she's been missed.
But real life, it's not real life and then Saturday, kind of, who knows what happens, and then Sunday, oh, we're back to spiritual, we're back to God, back. Guys, it's all of it. All of it in the life of a believer is holy. Every day for the believer is a holy day, is a day to honor God, is a day to see God work, is a day to be humble before God and be amazed at what he does. Some of you guys have experienced in the past week or two times where you heard from God and you acted. Has anybody been there this last week or two where anybody feel led to share? Just two minutes, 1 minute? Anybody feel led to share? Isaac, we didn't plan this. Come on up, my son. Kind of exciting to have my oldest come up. That's true.
Real life, okay.
I had a really good week this week. I'm a part of a youth program down in Maple Valley called New Life. I'm not sure if some of you have heard. It's a really big church, and I've been kind of in and out of there. And Tuesday night, I heard an incredible message from our youth pastor, and I mean, God just, he broke me. I went to the back room, didn't even go to small groups, and just kind of like cried and gave him a ton of stuff that I haven't really given him and try to kind of hide from him. And so, like, he moved me to a place to where, like, I just, he changed me. I mean, Wednesday, I kind of was a new person, and I was in the back room. I deleted, like, 600 songs off my iPod because, you know, it's all about what influences you. What goes in comes out, you know, and so I want only the goodness of God to come out. And then Thursday, I met with the youth pastor again, and we're just talking, and he was like, yeah, I love your fire. And so this Tuesday, if I could have some prayer, I'm speaking. I'm giving a message at one of the campuses. And then next Sunday at 6 o'clock, I give another message to about 100, 150 students there too. So, and then he's also telling me that he's like, you know, I know you want to be EMT. I know you want to be a paramedic, but I just pray about it. And so I've been praying about it. And so now after high school, I'm going to do leadership college through their church, hopefully become a youth pastor. And then he's hoping that 3 years down the road, we plant here and we move and I'll be the youth pastor here. So praise God, we're moving, he's moving. And so Wednesday I called this guy and I was like, yo, I'm preparing my message, like I love you. And like, you know, he probably cried. So, but yeah, God's moving, God bless.
Amen.
God moves, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What's that? Yeah, let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Anybody who wants to pray, let's go ahead and stand together. Thank you, guys. Good idea. And amen.
Right about here.
All right. Just whoever wants to pray, go for it.
Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. Father, thank you for this young man. Thanks, Father. Who is becoming what you have fashioned him to be. Mm-hmm. Encourage us to encourage him.
Yes, sir.
And to ever hold his name in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's not the least we can do, Father. It's the most we can do. Mm-hmm. We're here to support. Thank you.
Father, Lord, I just ask that you give Isaac the words, give him the strength, the power, the courage that as only you give, Lord, to him in his speaking engagement, and that he reach and teach each and every person that shows there, Lord, Father, and give you the glory at the same time, Lord,
yes.
I just continue to just be amazed by the growth in Isaac as I've been coming up in the last 2 years, Lord, Father, and it's going to continue to just to guide him, Lord, to you. Thank you for just our family here at CBF.
Yes, sir.
Just thank you for just the love that's in this room right now. This is only something that you bring, Lord, Father, and we thank you for it.
Father, I ask that you would give him a real joy, the ministry that you've given him. Such a confirming way for you to show that you're going to find someone to just give him joy. Serving you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for this testimony.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Touch Isaac's love. How you can also touch others. I just thank you that you're a God who cares about these people.
Yes.
And you bless them in such a way. Thank you.
Thank you. Lord, we just ask that you would break hundreds of other hearts through his.
Yes,
Lord. Yes.
Even though you broke his own heart. One of the strongest.
Several times this morning is already broken out. He asked you to hear what the voice. He said, it's not the voice of these people, it's the voice of God.
Yes, sir. Amen. Father, I thank you for my son. I thank you for the blessing he is. I thank you for the man that he is and the man that he's becoming. Bless him, encourage him. Speak your truth through him. Put your love deep in him. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You are ready, sir.
You know, one of the things that comes to my mind is back to where we started, a day like any other day, right? You know, when people work, when people speak into other people's lives, God moves and there's consequences that are blessings. You know, this is no small thing in my son's life. And so many of you have been a part of that. So many of you have been a part of all my kids hearing from the Lord. So many of you have spoken in day after day. So many of you have had others in this church family speak into your kids' lives. God's using it all, isn't he? Praise God. Praise God. Whew. So here's David, and he's all excited, and he's leaving his stuff, the stuff that he's brought with somebody else, and he's running in to find out what is going on. He reached the camp as the army was going out in the battle positions. Second part of verse 20, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Something different there. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. David comes and he's running in, and you can see, hey guys, he's with his brothers. I'm here. He's excited. He's excited to, you know, he's young. Where does he want to be? He wants to be there. And as soon as he gets near, he just forgets about his mission, leaves his stuff, and runs to be with his brothers. Guys, our young people are hungry to get in the battle. Our young people are hungry to get involved. And my prayer is that we would continue to and even grow in how we bring our young people up. Remember what we say, what you've heard me say it many times. We don't bring our young people up in the church. We bring our young people up in Jesus. The church isn't enough. It's not enough. We bring them up in the love and truth of Jesus Christ. And he says, as he's talking with him, here comes Goliath, and he does his usual spiel. And you can almost hear it. You know what I hear? I don't exactly hear the biblical version from last week. I hear a fee-fi-fo-fum. It always has that feel to me. He comes out and he's just boisterous and he's just me, 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 me. And he's out there and he's taunting him and he's saying, you send out one man, I'll represent. Here we go. Battle on, one-on-one. Winner takes all. And as he's coming out, David hears him. He actually hears him, and his response is what? Here we go. The call out. Here he is, man. Okay, guys. And you can just see David saying, okay, guys, let's go. Do we rush now? I'm here. What do we do? And you can feel the youth ready to do battle right then and there. And he's looking around, and there's his brothers, these big, strong guys. David's looking up at him. Okay, guys, here we go. Here we go. And what's the response? Now the Israelites, we take a little step back. Now the Israelites have been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He's been doing this and doing this and doing this. He comes out to defy Israel. And the word there is actually translated mock. Mock. So he comes out day after day to mock Israel, to mock Israel's God. And he's coming out and he's mocking God. He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes disgrace from Israel? Does this sound like, it almost has a feel, if you don't hear it right, like David is saying, what are the goods? What do I get? But he's not. He's asking a question that no one else is, everyone else is saying, where's the tents to hide behind? They're thinking, how do I get it? And David's finding out, wait, what's going on? And what's going to be done? He's asking questions that others weren't asking. The rumor going around was, now it's a true rumor. Not all rumors are true, but it's a true rumor. It's going around and this will be done. For the person. Now, who should be the one taking him out? The king, who's a head taller than everybody else. And instead, the king has let it slip through the cracks. It's an unofficial slip, right? Or maybe it was an announcement or somehow got the message out. We don't know. But he gets this message out that says, look at the wealth. Look at the wealth. And the position that married to who? The king's. So all of a sudden, you're family of royalty, and you're the husband. You're a prince. Man, he's asking these questions. Then he says something else. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes disgrace from Israel? And then he says this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, once again, we have a different vision from David. Somebody, a person of God who sees things differently than the world sees. All the people are seeing the giant in fear And David is looking out and he's seeing this little pipsqueak compared to God, mocking God. How dare this little ant defy this great big God? Do you see how his vision is different? The men are seeing there are saying, whoa, I'm big, but this guy's a monster. They're seeing with man's vision. Where in your life does your perspective need to change? That's between you and God. Guys, what area of your life right now are you looking at things and saying, this is too big a problem? Is it at the workplace? Is it in your marriage? Is it with a friend who's now an enemy? Or an enemy who's still an enemy? Because I promise you one thing, if you look at things according to how man sees things, it will be impossible. And we will all be, we'll never make it. Right? But God moves. God moves through his people, and when his people see things differently, they start asking different questions, right? The men there are saying, did I tie my shoes because I need to get out? And David's saying, what? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he's going to defy God and God's people? No, 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 no. They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. David's finding out more. This is truth. It's not a rumor. It's not silliness. It's actually what the kings said. See, David is asking different kinds of questions because his heart's different, because his vision's different. His vision is different actually because his heart's different. Then it gets to verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked him, guys, think about that. Do you have any oldest brothers in your life? Even if you're the oldest, do you have somebody who's like that, with that heart? Rather than saying, man, David is asking the right questions. What do we know about Eliab? He was there. When Jesse's father had Samuel come by, Samuel passed him by. So he's jealous of his little brother. You ever been jealous of a younger sibling? Or a sibling? Or a friend? Or someone else? The oldest brother said he heard him speaking with them. And he burned. It's not he just was a little angry. He burned with anger. That's old anger, guys. That's old bitterness. When we have an offense and we don't deal with it, we stir it. And we stir it. And pretty soon, man, and he always does this. All the language becomes, you know, this completed language, this absolute language. Always. Man. And now all we remember is what? The negative. And we're brewing it. And we're brewing this pot of poison. And then not only are we drinking from it, it's going out to those around us. Guys, when we allow a critical spirit to come in, it will destroy us from the inside out. And at first, it's the people that our anger is towards. But just like Eliab with being the oldest brother, now it's affecting how he sees what God is doing. Now he can't even see what God is doing. And rather than saying, David, God chose him back here. I remember that. And now David's asking the right questions. David, what can I do to help you? How can I stand by you, brother? He's been brewing poison with his critical spirit. And as the critical spirit is getting stirred, it's just going out. And he's trying to embarrass David in front of everyone. He burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the..." They had plenty of sheep. You see, he's trying to make him look as useless and as you possibly can. He's just a man. "And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." And in the original language, a better translation is you came down here to be seen. Not to see the battle, but to be seen seeing the battle. And what's he saying here? "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is." He's been brewing that critical spirit that now I see the critical spirit in you. You see, now the poison is so a part of his life, all he sees is the poison of others. Have you ever been there? I know I have. Where I had gotten so full of myself, and whether it was my own situation or I had taken up the offense of another. Because I have a feeling those other two brothers that are there weren't going, "Hey, leave David alone." We don't hear that in the story, do we? You can almost feel them going like this. "That's right. He came here to be seen. Where's your sheep, David? What do you have, two or three that Dad lets you watch?" What's David really been? Taking care of a lot of sheep and going back and forth from where? From the palace. Critical spirit will just eat us alive. Saul isn't doing what he's been called to do. David hears with the eyes and ears and understanding of God. He sees things differently. He hears things differently. And hears his brother saying, "I know your heart." Have you ever? It's hard when people judge your heart. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to go back to the old man. When somebody judges my heart, you can judge my actions, but judging my heart? Man, now you start bringing up. Now it's real easy for me to get angry. And when I get angry, it's real easy for me to act in an ungodly way. Because a righteous anger is very, very difficult to have. As when people have a critical spirit around us, the response is to have a critical spirit back. And I promise you one thing, it will feel so good in the moment to say your piece. Oh, it feels good. Get slapped, you want to slap back. Bring it on. You want to go? Let's go. Let's go. Right? That's the heart of man. Let's go. I love David's response. "Now what have I done?" David's not new to this feeling from his oldest brother, is he? Do you hear the pain? "Now what have I..." In other words, this has happened before. "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" And then David does something that I believe is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's truly miraculous. David doesn't get drawn into the wrong fight. You see, at this point, guys, if you hear nothing else, hear this. At this point, when God is preparing you and when you see unrighteousness and when you're stepping in, you know what the enemy's going to do? He's going to switch ways it coming at you. He's going to come at you in a different way. Why? Because he wants you to have that. He can't stop that passion. But if he can redirect it, oh man, now you're twice as deadly to the things of God. And David is all fired up, and he can't I even speak again with this? And he stops, and then he says this. He then turned away. Guys, this is so hard to do in the moment. I have failed so many times right here. I've also experienced success at times here. And when I've failed here, I feel good for the moment, and then it's constant bleh and dealing with the bleh. And now I've hurt others, and now, sure, I felt better for the moment, but now I feel like dirt because I know I've done what hurt me. I've responded in a way, oh, man. And now it's this junk just kind of travels and grows, and it's like a snowball going down the hill of my anger in response. And I can justify it because I can say what? I didn't start it. I'll finish it. Right? We love to be kind of holy almost. You know, we justify ourselves in that. And I said what needed to be said. Right? That's a Christian's way of saying I was a jerk. I've been that jerk too many times. I said what I said, man. My heart's not humble. David's heart is humble. And he's wise. Guys, he's humble because he's wise. Because he's had the vision of who God is, of what God's doing. And even though he starts to get sidetracked, he stops. He regroups. And he turns away. And he doesn't fight the wrong. Guys, in your personal families, both as a parent with your children and as children with your parents, even if you're grown, even if they're in the grave, with that critical spirit, if you are harboring bitterness and your parent or grandparent has been dead 50 years, you can still be controlled from the grave. You can still be a victim from the one who's passed away long ago. I want you to think through certain things. What's on your heart as you're hearing the word of God here? Are you thinking of situations and thinking, man, God was awesome in that? Because even when I messed up, or are you thinking, oh, crumb, where's the door? I don't want to hear this right now. I'm in the middle of this. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do, respond the way you need, the way that honors God. It says, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. He doesn't bring the fight where it doesn't belong, to his brothers, to his family. Guys, where does our fight not belong? In our families, with our friends, with our church family. See, the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, trying to destroy. And he's roaring, and he's puffing, and he's, fee-fi-fo-fumming. But the lion has no teeth. He's been defanged by Christ himself. Where are you in the story right now? Is your heart okay now? Who are you in the story? Are you David? Are you King Saul? Are you the brother who's annoyed? Who are you? Who do you want? We all want to be David, don't we? Man, I'm David. At times we're Saul. At times we're a lion. I think the way that we don't live there is that we're honest with God. How many times do we know we need to go back to that well? God, forgive me. When we don't repent, guys, we're stirring the brew. We're stirring it. We're taking all that critical heart and just making it worse. And when we do that, somebody else says one word, and boy, we've got a lot to share. Maybe we don't even share it. Maybe we're so holy that we just think it, right? I'm not going to, well, I got nothing to say about that, but or are we humble before God? Do we repent of our sin? It's hard every time. Who are you in the story right now? Right now, today, a day like any other day, who are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that these stories are not just stories. This is the truth, your truth. And therefore, Lord, at times it's so exciting and wonderful to read, and at times the exact same scripture, man, it cuts, it hurts. It exposes who we really are, what we're really thinking, what we're really doing. Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sin. Lord, there are so many times and so many places. Lord, thank you that I'm forgiven because of what you've done. Father, I ask that because I'm forgiven, I would then turn around to my brother or sister and forgive. I want to receive it from you. I need to give it away. Father, forgive me for holding it in my heart against others. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God. Lord, we pray that the enemy would not be able to be so successful with our church family, with us at work, with us, with our extended family and friends. Lord, we pray that we would experience victory, that we would have the heart of David here. And Lord, we know that there's something special about David, and it's that he was chosen by you, and you chose us. And we, many of us in this family, Lord, we're in right relationship with you. And Lord, we pray for those who are on the outside, just kind of checking it out, looking at it. Is this for real? Lord, speak to them. Love them into the kingdom, into this family. Lord, we thank you that you are good and holy. Lord, humble our hearts. Break us down, Lord, in your way, in your truth, through the word of God, Lord. We desire to repent of our sins, to turn from them and to turn to you. Father, I pray that each one here, Lord, that I pray that things would be changed in the hearts of men and women and children today. And Lord, that no one would be able to put their head on the pillow tonight and just go on if things need to be dealt with in their hearts before you, before their brothers, sisters. Lord, we pray for unity in this church family, in our own homes. Lord, we thank you that you move mountains in the lives of the people around us, Lord. That we get to see changed lives. We were reminded this morning from my oldest son that you change lives. Lord, we are grateful that it's not about what we do. It's about what you do and us joining you in it. Humble us, Lord. May we hear from you clearly. Break down those walls. Take off those masks. For your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.